Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. We're produced by David Tapia, and Desiree is on assignment. This is podcast number 10. Today's date is January 31st, 2006.
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Google AdSense and the Firefox web browser. The innovative Firefox browser makes surfing the web faster and safer with the included Google Toolbar. And features like autofill and spell check, it will make your browsing more convenient. Together, they'll change the way you use the internet for free. Just click on the button on our homepage.
Thank you, Steve. Keep up the good work. Love that Google browser.
Anything that brings in a little cash flow is always helpful.
And it's little, trust me. Today, we're going to talk about the new Renault R26 that was presented in Monaco.
Pretty, pretty car.
Gorgeous. Once again, I'm going to reiterate, I think Renault's got the aero package down. I know this is premature. They're hiding their little secrets. March 12th, we'll see the real McCoy, but still, the car looks fantastic. I also want to bring up some sponsorship deals. Mile 7 is pulling out. 2006 is going to be their last year. Patrick Faure is going to retire. I think that's big news. And I'm very intrigued on who Renault will replace Mr. PF with. Interesting, Flavio Briatore was blaming Red Bull for Michelin having to go back to tire changes. I guess Red Bull voted for tire changes, and they were Michelin runners. And Briatore, he's becoming sensitive.
Were they must have been the swing vote, I guess?
They were the swing vote.
Huh. I don't think it makes... Tire changes actually add to the sport, in my
opinion. I understand, but Michelin had the advantage. And if tire changes were not brought back, Bridgestone would...
Well,
they would still be suffering tremendously.
Yeah,
I think they would have made some gains.
Well, especially with the number of the additional runners they have this year.
Yeah, but
to
still,
get data from.
Michelin definitely loses the edge. Bridgestone gains an advantage with the tire changes because in 2004, obviously, Bridgestone with tire changes was a terrific deal.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about what Michael Schumacher was mentioning about Renault. Once again, it's been reiterated by Michael Schumacher. Renault looks pretty good.
The team to beat, he said.
That's what he said, and I like it.
He was playing up his chances.
I think he is.
Scuderia will be running better this year.
And you never know. I mean, people are sandbagging. There's a lot of drama at this time of year. Today Honda was up front. I believe they're in Valencia. But I don't trust anybody. Some people are sandbagging. Some people are going all out. To truly test the V8 to see if it's going to be dependable. But getting back to the R26, I looked at some great pictures today.
Some really pretty pictures. I like the fact that they included some studio shots.
Yes. There were more studio shots this time.
You could get a really good look at some of the features that they've added.
And I like how Renault controlled the kind of pictures that came out. And they were great shots. The shot of the back end... It's so much narrower.
All the louvers are gone.
Obviously, the cooling of the V8 is going to be easier. The pods are tiny.
Yeah, the dope car looks slimmer waist.
Absolutely. And it's just a piece of sculpture. I thought it was just gorgeous.
You'd think an Italian had actually designed it, considering...
I don't think so. What do Italians know about sculpture?
There were a couple of really good Italians.
A couple of them, but that was just something else. Just kidding. I think Alonso's going to have a hard time. I think they're bringing it up so much. I think Fisichella is definitely going to go for it. Alonso is going to be burdened. I don't even think he's going to get the best car out of the engineers.
No, probably not. I wouldn't, because Fizzy's the guy that's going to be there next year. You know, I think a lot of it will depend, too, on who excels in the early races.
I want Fizzy to win.
Oh, yeah, me too. He won the first one last year, had a lot of trouble getting out of the pits.
That's true. I remember that. That was awkward.
There were like two or three races where he
On
his last pit stop.
He did blow a few moments, but also I think there might have been some software problems there.
Yeah, it could be. There could be more than... It may not necessarily have been his fault completely, but it's hard to say.
I agree. I can't wait till they go back testing. I'm not sure when. I think it's next week. But according to Michael Schumacher, they are the top team to look at.
Team to beat.
And I'm getting emails from people thinking that they're going to be way behind. But I tend to disagree.
From what we've seen so far in the trials and stuff, their motor has been the best or one of the most reliable. We don't know, like you said, they could be sandbagging, but we know that McLaren's seeing problems with their V8.
Did you hear how Valentino Rossi did today?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I forgot to discuss this with you, but he didn't even get a lap in, spun the car.
Oops.
And it was interesting because Mark Webber yesterday was telling everybody that he was really impressed with Valentino Rossi's bravery. I've also gotten emails from people saying that Valentino Rossi is the man, and he's got the talent and the testicle fortitude.
Can't spit that one out tonight, can you?
No, I don't know what that was all about, but no, he spun it like on the third lap. No, not even a full lap. Third corner. Lost it in front of 100 press people.
Cold tires?
I don't know. Well, probably a combination of everything. The weather was just terrible. Yeah. I'm not going to blame him completely. Your first time out with the boys, the weather is so bad that he was out on wet tires for sure.
Yeah. Was he?
But I do feel bad.
Are they running their Grand
Prix? He was driving. Car,
or was he running their last
F 2004?
Okay.
Championship winning car.
Yeah.
They only have one 248 F1. This is the other thing where I see Ferrari having a problem winning this championship. They're way behind. And I read that they will not have a second 248 F1 ready until the middle of next month.
I can't comprehend that, because why wouldn't you be building two in parallel? You know, you are going to put two cars on the track, aren't you?
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense to me not to be building two in parallel. You know,
they do not have two.
This is a custom. This is a company F1s. That builds custom cars for a living. You think they'd have?
Renault's got two R26s. Toyota's got two TF106s. Honda has two RA106s. I'm surprised, but they do not.
Huh? That really surprises me completely.
I was very surprised.
Are they afraid that they're not going to it's not going to run well, and that they're going to have to make major changes?
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
I have no clue. Maybe they're lying. I find it hard to believe that Michael Schumacher is the only one who's been out with a 248 F1. Everybody else has been in a modified F2004 with the V8 bolted to it. And to be honest with you, I'm not even sure if Valentino Rossi was running a V8 or a V10. That wasn't mentioned at all.
Well, I think if they're running the 2004 chassis that they were running, had a V8 fitted.
Right, Massa was running the V8 fitted 2004 chassis, and the reason why they're using the F2004, because the new 248 F1 is more similar to the championship winning 2004 car than obviously
the 2005
the terribly. The bad aero package on the 2005. So they've haven't used the 2005. They went back to the championship winning car with a V8 because the aero package on the 2004 is much more similar to the 2006 car, the 248.
More stable. And they know that one works well compared to the 2005 car was really just a dog. Michael had to just drive his ass off to get that one to even be marginally competitive.
Exactly. And if anybody could give you a barometer of whether the car is decent or not, it's going to be Schumacher.
Right.
You got to give him credit for that. Also, I was surprised to read today that Patrick Foll has confirmed to members of the French press that he's going to retire.
Patrick Foll is...
He runs the Renault F1, Renault Sports program.
Okay.
And that falls under his title.
So he's going to be controlling F1...
He's going to retire.
Does he control just the F1 team?
The sports package.
So they compete, you know.
They have a junior rally league in the Clio. They all the Renault, where they in the Formula Renault junior teams.
Right.
Where all the up and coming drivers, even McLaren has drivers in that race in that.
In that series,
thank you. But Foll is retiring, and I think it's surprising because he's done a pretty good job. And on the heels of this announcement, I keep reading that Renault does not plan to leave F1, where a month ago everybody was saying Alonso left because Renault plans to leave F1.
I think Renault may, I mean, Alonso may have been reacting to rumor, and also, who knows, Briatore may have told him that he'd heard that there was a chance that they'd close up. But I was reading today, especially in the release that came with the car, and that, you know, Renault plans to go out and win, and it sounds to me like if they win, it's
balls to the wall.
They're sticking around. It doesn't make sense.
I think they are sticking around. Also, Alonso said today that Renault had a chance to keep him, but they didn't go for it. I believe that.
I believe that, too. And I believe that Renault's probably going, you know, Renault doesn't want to put up that kind of paycheck. It's going to be too big a chunk out of their budget.
Renault would never get into a bidding war for a driver. They have too many young drivers that are willing to just jump on the bandwagon and drive for practically nothing.
Yes. And if you have a good enough car, your driver just has to be good. He doesn't have to be...
And I'm sure...
Michael Schumacher.
Alonso being there for 5 years, he knows full well that Renault does not get into shooting matches with the big teams. It's just not their style, especially Briatore. He won't do it.
No.
Not in a million years.
No. It doesn't, and considering that Renault tends to run a budget significantly smaller than a lot of the other teams,
a third smaller.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to, you know, throw the salary of five or six engineers out the window with the driver.
I agree. I agree completely. What else did I see? I mentioned Miles 7 leaving. I think we all knew Miles 7 was going to leave. Well, all the tobacco branding.
All the tobacco seems to be pulling
except
out.
For McLaren. I mean, not McLaren.
Marlboro.
Ferrari, correct. Yeah. They will keep the red and some nuance of Marlboro in there. I think they're going to lose the Marlboro chevron.
Probably.
But all in all. Also, the FW28 came out. What, 3 days ago?
Last Friday?
I think it was last Friday. I thought it was last Friday.
Yeah.
I thought it looked good.
Yeah, it was a nice looking car.
Now they're going to be using, it's the first team that's announced that they'll be using the seamless 7-speed gearbox.
Does that mean it's like all closed up and there are no seams showing?
I don't know, but it's a phenomenal breakthrough in technology, but it's a very expensive transmission.
And that basically what it does is it cuts the shift times to nothing.
I think we're down to microseconds, not milliseconds. 30 to 40 milliseconds is standard. So we're talking, they're so close, it's seamless. That's what they're trying to say.
So basically as soon as the driver hits the paddle, it's
I'm not sure. It's so close, I can't even fathom how fast that will be. I know seamless, it tries to give you an idea, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, will the car just sound like?
I'm thinking that, you know, that actually might be challenging for a professional race car driver because he's so used to anticipating.
Well, they would make adjustments.
His shift changes.
They make adjustments, but I predict that the seamless
that the FIA
transmission will be banned. Yeah, going back to when you look at what they are proposing for 2008, I can't imagine them going for this high tech seamless transmission.
No.
Not a million years.
And it's kind of like traction control. You know, it's kind of like...
Even though I like traction control.
Yeah.
But then I like tech stuff, and I think the seamless transmission would be fine. But a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people... We even get a lot of emails from people saying that they want to go back to a lower technology. They call it technology that's up front that people can see.
Right.
So I think that's all dandy and wonderful.
But we like to just hear about that stuff that's under the hood that we can't see, that it sounds so cool.
Exactly. We're nerds, pocket protectors.
Exactly.
I know.
We Americans like our technology.
I read something that was pretty funny the other day. Jacques Villeneuve playing guitar, singing his own songs. I can't even imagine.
I hope that's not like William Shatner singing.
I have that record. It's the best. I have Spock, too, on record. But that's another podcast for another day. Jacques Villeneuve was playing in Switzerland. I'm not sure if it was Davos, it was some summit, but he played a half hour.
Wow. Yeah. It's a pretty good set for...
I hope somebody recorded that. If anybody recorded that...
Or has seen that recording somewhere.
Well, there's no recording. It was his first time in public. If anybody taped that, you know, bootlegged it, please give us an MP3. We'll throw it up on the website just for laughs. I also want to mention... Last week we mentioned the Grand Prix movie DVD 1966 with James Garner. There was a petition signing. Well, our producer found on the web that it is coming out in 2006. No official date, but it's going to be a two-disc special feature.
Special edition.
Digital remastered edition. So look forward to that. I don't know if the petition worked. Continue to sign the petition at GrandPrixDVD.com.
It's a good idea.
I think so.
You never know about those movie executives. They might back out.
Yeah, they could back out anytime they want. They don't care.
You want to mention the A1GP?
That's right. That's right. Good point.
You mentioned that you'd seen some of it and that it was
I did
a
watch
phenomenal bit of racing.
Well, we want to give our congratulations to Jos Verstappen for winning the A1 Grand Prix in South Africa.
Durban.
It was glorious. I watched some of that while I was making breakfast this morning, and it's a long race, and they put everything together. But I've been picking up on A1 Grand Prix, and I don't want to get into it too much. But Jos Verstappen won the featured race that starts like an F1 with a standing start. But it was exciting. Great racing. Josh, a lot of fans. I liked him in F1. He's actually very, very good friends with Michael Schumacher. So to the Dutch, to the House of Orange, congratulations.
Yeah.
And we do have a link now on our website, F1Weekly.com, for A1 Grand Prix. And that's the biggest reason is because they're coming to Laguna Seca. That's our backyard. We are from Central Coast, Northern California. So we're going to be going to that race, hopefully. We're trying. And so we got a link up on the website. And just bare headlines. Nothing in depth.
Yeah, we threw a picture up there. There's a link to the A1GP site. We're going to try to get some more information and some stuff up there. But
well, I like some of the former F1 drivers like Josh, Ralph Furman.
Yeah.
It's
well,
great
Scott,
stuff.
Scott Speed actually raced a couple races for the USA this year.
The U.S. are not doing very well.
No, I don't think they've got all that much support, and they really haven't had any of their truly quality drivers.
I don't know. They had Brian Herta out there. Lots of experience. Scott Speed, plenty of experience in open wheel. Who else drove for the Americans? I can't remember because I don't follow the series that closely. But it's a good series. Take a look at it. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to bring up real quick. We've added drivers' pages, F1 drivers' pages and sites links to the links page. There is right underneath the team links, there's a link to a second page which has what we know as the current driver list for all of the teams in F1 as of, say, Sunday, and then links to their various pages and websites. Some of those websites are under construction because these guys have just moved over to F1.
Right.
But and some of them go nowhere. It's really weird. Coulthard's link.
Coulthard?
Which is a link directly off of Red Bull's site, takes you to Revs TV, and has nothing to do with him. So I'm like, okay. But in general, most of those go directly to the driver's website. Most of them have their own websites.
Absolutely.
A couple of them go to driver's pages on their team sites. But everybody that we know right now that's in F1 and has a seat, either as a driver, a Friday driver, or as a fourth driver, we've gotten up there. So check it out. If you find something on there that doesn't jive, send us an email and we'll do our best to fix it.
Okay. I also got an email, and I'm going to have to apologize for the pronunciation of Gary Paffett, the test driver for McLaren. Apparently, I got an email saying that I pronounced it Paffet.
Yeah, you Frenched him.
I did French him, and I apologize to Mr. Paffett's family. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, but Gary, no harm done. I didn't know.
Yeah, can we get an interview at the U.S. Grand Prix?
Sure, we'll do that. No, I thought that was a pretty funny email. Never, 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 never. But that's my French heritage, and when I see two T's at the end, I just go for the A.
Exactly.
Any other good stuff today?
I don't think I've seen. I didn't see all that much last night. I was up last night a little bit this afternoon. Nothing really jumping out at me.
Yeah,
it's and even a little slow right now.
Even the Renault thing was pretty. It wasn't as exciting as last year's.
Yeah. Well, the champions are just being cool.
I guess. I don't know. There wasn't big comments from Briatore. I think they're still in shock because Alonso's leaving the team. Very interesting. But, okay, we're going to go to some emails. I got an email today, and I'm going to let Steve read this one. It's pretty interesting. It's from Holland, from Alwin. I hope that's the correct pronunciation.
Alwin van Doorn. Hello, Clark, and the rest of the team at F1 Weekly. I've listened to a few of your podcasts. It's great to hear that Formula One is very much alive in the US of A. Your enthusiasm for all things F1 is one of the reasons why I've been listening to your podcast. Being from the old world, Europe, I've been following F1 for about 15 years. In this time, I've learned a lot about the business as well as the sporting side of this great sport. There are a couple things to comment on. Clark's kind of touched on a couple of these. You said in the show that you love all the technical stuff on the cars and that you don't like what Max Mosley is doing. This dumbing down that is scheduled for 2008 was not what you would like to see. He disagrees in a large part, and basically what he says is he thinks that, like, the seamless gearbox, literally tens of millions of dollars on a transmission, Tim, is crazy. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that the public won't see doesn't make sense. He wants the technology to be visible to the public in that, you know, it improves the races, it makes things more competitive, and that the teams just don't throw money out the window, so to speak, trying to get that one technical, finding that magic bullet, so to speak, to win the races. And then having said that, F1 should always be the pinnacle of motorsport, and there must be a lot of technology in there, but it should be visible by the public. And then another thing he mentions is, we've been talking a lot about new car launches, and Clark and I tend to zero in a lot on the aero packages, and he mentions that, you know, what we're seeing in a lot of these cars aren't necessarily the packages that they're going to be wearing once they get to Bahrain, because a lot of teams are trying to keep their little aero quirks under wraps and things that we wouldn't be able to see anyway, like zero keel or V keel or single keel, are things we can't really see in the photographs that we see and may have more to do with the overall aero quality of the vehicle. So, yeah, we agree with you that, but we still think the Renault is the most aerially beautiful car on the road right now. By the way, Clark, if you ever want any input input from me about the political or business side of F1, I'm happy to give that to you. Or if you want some background stories about, for instance, Robert Dornbos or Colin Coles or the Sauber team, let me know. Keep up the good work and the enthusiasm. Greeting from Alwin.
Thank you, Alwin.
Thank you. That was great.
That was excellent, and we will take you up on that political stuff. If you've got dirt, email it to us. We will mention it, and we'll credit. We'll give you all the credit for it. I'm going to go ahead and read this second email because I thought it was pretty intriguing, and actually, it's going to set somewhat of a format for our next upcoming podcast. This is from Ray Smith in Windmoor, Pennsylvania. I look forward to hearing your show each week. I download it to my Creative Zen MP3 player, but never know which folder it will end up in. Could you stick with naming convention for the various tags? Particularly genre, I stick podcasts in speech. Ray, you're right. We were goofing around, and every time we would tag the genre, we would put disco, new pop, old pop. We apologize. We blew it. From now on, it's going to be speech. We didn't really realize and think ahead that would organize each of the podcasts for people who download them on their MP3 players. And I will continue now with his email. Any chance of getting a V12 F1 sound on the show? You can get those. You can really, if you go to our website and do a search on Google, it'll take you to a number of websites that will help you find that. And if you can't find it, email us and we'll put it on the website. I've found a couple of them. Continuing, like most of your U.S. listeners, to go to the U.S. Grand Prix each year, it's a shame that the promoters don't seem to understand the fans. How about pointing out to Tony and Bernie that they need to get better support races and events and fill up the many hours of idleness on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning? Let's get back to having a follow-up race with a U.S. Grand Prix so that not everyone leaves at the same time. The Porsche Super Cup Demolition Derby is a good show, but the BMW and Ferrari stuff is kind of lame. How about professional motorcycle racers? Or better yet, the European trucks. I love that idea. The European trucks would be great. Have you ever seen that on some of the like the Speed Channel?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's
I haven't
fantastic. Any of that. That's never going to happen at the track. I don't think they would. I think the trucks could beat up the track quite a bit, and Tony wouldn't like that. Continuing.
Don't they run the U.S. Truck Series at Indianapolis as part of the Brickyard 400?
European trucks are semis.
Oh, they're okay.
Yeah.
My mistake.
Sort of a difference.
A little bit larger.
I'll point those out one day. It's really funny stuff.
If you see them coming up, let me know.
Yeah, it's great. It's hilarious. One more thing. He wants us to point out to the fans who haven't gone there that the U.S. Grand Prix is a bargain. Tickets are cheap. Great seats are available on race day up to the north side of the track where you can see half of the turns. I used to go to Montreal. It's a great city, but you're packed in and at best can only see two turns. Indy tickets are half the cost of Montreal's. I'm going to go ahead and summarize. He's got a good point. Ray, I'm going to use this concept on our next podcast. We're going to talk about what a great deal the U.S. Grand Prix is, hotels, how easy it is to just get the tickets, get your hotels. You can even pay for your parking in advance. That way it's just one beautiful weekend. And we're going to talk about that on the next podcast. I'm even going to bring up some prices on airfares. And I think you'll find it intriguing, Ray. Thanks for the idea. One more thing at the end. Any idea why the other Indy racetracks, like Raceway Park, don't have events on Friday and Saturday nights to pull in the F1 fans? It's not very far from the Speedway and would pull in a lot of people. Thanks for the show. Ray Smith, Windmore, Pennsylvania. Ray, actually, I know they used to have races at the Raceway Park, but I think they were the week before the F1 race. And a lot of that was attended by F1 dignitaries just for a good American track. I think it's a dirt track. I'm not sure, but it's a lot like, what's that show? It's dirt track where they do a lot of sliding. I can't remember.
Midgets.
No, the Outlaws.
Outlaws.
Outlaws, that's it. I know Eddie Jordan went to that race all the time. He would rave about it. I know a number of other team principals that would go, but a lot of their employees would go just for laughs because there's really not that much to do at Indianapolis. So I'll look into that. I'm going to go on the web and see what I could find out if that race is a week before F1 or a week after F1 or if it's F1 weekend. Anyway, thanks for the email.
We also wanted to mention that Alwin is from the Netherlands. He mentions that he's from Europe, but he's from the Netherlands. So he was probably really happy to see the A1 GP winner this week.
I hope so. I emailed him with a congratulatory remark.
You did?
Good. Yes. The House of Orange. Keep up the good work. Anyway, also I'd like to mention, email us some pictures of your favorite racing moments. Remember last podcast I mentioned I wanted to see some pictures? Well, I was hoping to get pictures of listeners at a race. But if you don't have that, we'll take race pictures. Anything cool, vintage, otherwise. Bruce McLaren in 68. Send
Michael
them in.
Schumacher in drag.
What? Sorry. Anything you have, scan it, email it to us, info@f1weekly.com. We also want to thank Howe Productions for the recording equipment. We're on equipment that's borrowed because we got some emails about the old equipment that wasn't that good. So we're borrowing equipment just so we can improve this podcast. So thanks to Howe Productions. Also, Brian Thomas, thanks a lot for the special intro that he did for us for the 9th podcast.
That was
number
cool.
9.
That was cool.
Number 9. We can always count on Brian for that creative little... Check us out on iTunes, Podcast Pickle, Podcasting News, Podcast Alley, and Yahoo Podcasts. All have direct links from our website. And remember, you can rate our podcasts in the podcast page at our site. Next podcast, I have a special segment on the U.S. Grand Prix. Don't forget, Ray's going to be excited about it. I read the email. Anybody, make sure you have a pen and pad on the next podcast because I'm going to throw out some good information and you might want to write it down. Steve, what do you think?
I think it's going to be, hopefully there'll be some news this week.
Yeah. Okay, stay tuned for another all-new podcast next week. In the meantime, check for updates on the website during the week.
Good night, Clark.
Good night, Steve. Good night, David.
Good night, David.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers of our listening audience, for tuning in to our F1Weekly.com podcast, reporting and commenting on F1, the highest echelon of motorsport, the combination of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts all wrapped up in a high-speed package.